Welcome, adventurers, both young and old. If you're looking to find a place where immortal witches, portal-jumping scientists, and adorable baby knights collide, then you're in the right place. A magical adventure unlike any you have experienced before, as World Talkers, an unofficial Evermore fancast, is about to begin.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of World Talkers, where today we are going to be reviewing the entire Aurora season. And just what a pleasure it is to have everyone here today. Why don't you all introduce yourselves? My name is Chandler, first and foremost.
I am Daniel. It's good to see you. It's good to hear you. I love you. I want to hold your hand.
I'm Wyatt. It's ice to meet you.
Those ice puns are just going to keep on coming throughout.
I thought this was going to be standard.
And this is Skylar. I too will probably do some ice puns and try to keep it together so that I don't lose it.
So since we are talking about the Aurora season, I guess just to kind of get things started, the Aurora Borealis looks like it's going to be at its peak looks like it's gonna be real strong in September for some reason. I don't know. But hey, the Aurora season, the Aurora Borealis season, something in September, especially if you're in Utikovik or Anchorage.
Thank you for that information.
I guess. All right.
Yes. We're reviewing the Aurora season, the Aurora Borealis we're talking about.
No.
Or are we talking about Aurora products located in Orange, Connecticut?
No, we are talking about Evermore Park's Aurora season.
We don't want to talk about all of their items genuinely containing no preservatives, artificial colors, or additives.
We don't want to talk about the general Aurora Borealis season.
Or Aurora products.
It is Aurora, the Aurora season, done by Evermore Park.
I did so much preparation for the wrong things.
So what happened in Aurora season 2018?
2019?
Oh, we're talking 2019.
And first off, we should state that our story episode will be coming next. We have changed up the format. Normally, the story episode comes before, but we're trying to do much more with it. So we will be giving you the review this time, and then next episode will be the story. But we will be reviewing everything as a whole, which includes the story. If there's any story elements that you have not heard about yet, we will try to cover those as we discuss them in this episode.
So there will be some light story
chat.
Some spoilers, but everything that we talk about will have already been put out by on the fan pages and everything. It's kind of more well-known, everything that we'll be talking about. So don't worry about spoilers too much. But come along with us. Today we're going to be reviewing the Aurora Evermore 2019 season.
I really appreciate the clarification there.
In the emails next time, we'll make sure to put that in the subject header for you.
Man. I mean, I was doing all of the research for K-pop for our Anything Goes episode, and like I got into studying Korean popcorn there. But I just misunderstood and I did it again here. I am sorry.
It's okay. The amount of research that you put in, it's incredible.
Thank you.
But let's get into it. What's the Aurora 2019 season?
Yeah, first and foremost, guys, what was the story like? What did we think about the story?
At least for me, I would say from everything that I've observed from lore 2018 to now, this is by far the best that Evermore Park has ever been in terms of story, in like every facet of what that story entails in terms of just the story beats, the timing, the intensity, the delivery from the actors. Do I think it was perfect? I'm not going to say it yet, because I think that every season there's going to be something I'm going to say they can do better, because I want to push them to be the best. But oh my goodness, it was as good as it has ever been, if not like years better. So good. So good. I loved it.
Yeah, for me, this season is illustrative of Evermore hitting their stride. To me, Evermore has officially, I will dub this season as the official season that Evermore has hit its stride. It knows what it is, it knows what it's doing, and it knows how to do it. There are tweaks and imperfections you can hammer out, but I feel like this is the moment where Evermore has defined itself and figured out what it's going on internally and externally.
Okay, so like, so this is my thoughts. Lore 2018, Aurora 2018, Mythos 2019 are beta. Lore 2019 is like early access development, and Aurora 2019, the game has been released. Like that is how I would put that out there. Like in my brain, that's how I'm like packaging Evermore in terms of story.
Which, I mean, just because the game has come out doesn't mean that there are still things that need to be improved upon and everything. No product is perfect, absolutely. But I would agree with you guys. The story was intriguing. It was multifaceted. It really felt like first and foremost, it was a direct continuation of the events of Lore 2019. We came in. It was weeks after, and the things that had happened in Lore 2019 were directly the first thing we were faced with, right? Which, in my opinion, I mean, listening back on our earlier reviews, was a criticism that we constantly had was, oh, the season is over. That means those story points that we cared so much about them in the past were nothing. They were kind of forgotten about by characters, even though they were there. We stopped seeing things previously once a season was over. And this was the first time that events really felt like they were, they had caused problems. It drove the story forward. And honestly, I would give them props for that, for kind of solving those problems of, hey, just because a season is over doesn't mean that these things are resolved there, and now they have consequences, which may have consequences into the cosmos, as we have seen with the ripping of lore from that cycle.
Amen, amen.
And right along with that, it felt like the questing as well, and the personal story lines and personal story moments that one could have with Evermore Park were also being fleshed out and really worked upon, to the point of even at the end, last night when we were recording this, there were so many personal interactions that people actually were able to go to Aurora based on what they had done and kind of what they wanted to do.
Right. Yeah. We learned that something that was entirely Worldwalker driven was this: we want to go back to Aurora with you. And like Chandler, you just said, this is the first time that has ever happened. And I don't know what that's going to look like for the future of Evermore, but I would be surprised if that isn't something that will probably regularly happen as people are coming to the park with these characters that they're creating themselves, and to really put them, those characters, into the story, to say, all right, I'm going to send this character off into this new world. They can bring in a new character to play, but like, what a very interesting way to, I don't know, like really put yourself into the story, beyond the story even, because who knows where that'll go next. Super curious. Super, super, like, I don't even know what the word is, like, innovative from the side of the Worldwalkers.
Which is so interesting. I mean, how were your personal relationships with characters this time around compared to other seasons? Or how were your choices acted upon? Did it feel like, do you guys agree with Dan and myself?
I agree. I feel like the experiences, quests, choices, things that I did had impact or had meaning to them. There were never moments when I was doing something that felt like I'm ticking off a box. To me, there was weight behind most everything I did, which I can say wasn't the case for other seasons.
I would also agree. I can't even think of a single time where I did anything that seemed like a fetch quest. Just a simple, hey, let's ferry some items between people for no in particular reason. A lot of it was very what I felt was directly story related, in regards to, hey, we need these things to actually get something done to solve this problem that is going on. And it felt like there was stakes to those quests, I think, is more what I'm looking for. It was what I felt.
Yeah, yeah. And I think maybe, and I'm hypothesizing here, I don't have proof, but to me what it felt like is that the characters, or the actors maybe, were communicating with each other and saying, I want to do this scenario, this quest. I'm going to send people to you to do this thing. Will you respond this way and send them back to me? Doing this, it felt like there was cohesive quests that all people involved in that quest line, even if it was something like a personal quest, felt solid. They felt cohesive. It didn't necessarily feel like I've got a sudden relationship with that person, and then you'd go talk to that person and they had no idea what you were talking about. To me, I never ran into those moments.
I mean, we'll kind of talk about this more later on. There were some moments where props and things weren't where they should be, especially when it comes to the Everlevel quests, which we'll discuss more in depth. So still not perfect.
Not
that
perfect.
Regard,
not perfect.
But it definitely was a huge step forward. They worked on that. We can tell. Definitely.
Another thing I just want to point out about the story in general is just the sheer scope of it. I think this season, more than anything, I have felt that there's just so much to figure out. There was like 80 different characters. There was so many different scenarios. There was like a crap ton of romances happening, and trying to figure out how everything connects. What was the focus of the actual, like, quote unquote main story was actually very difficult for me to parse, but I was still having a great time because there was so much there.
Right. I would say, at least for me, the difficulty to find that quote unquote main story was because I was feeling fulfilled diving into things that weren't the main focus. That for me, it was like, oh, for right now, today, this for me is the main story.
No, absolutely. I think the position Evermore is in right now with story is very unique compared to Evermore's past, as the main story can be whatever you want the main story to be. As the World Walker, you can find the main story of the pirates. You can dive deep into the main story of the pirates, and I just use the pirates as an example, but it can be literally anything within the park, any character. You can really find whatever most intrigues you. It is there, and you can dig, and like not find all of the answers still, and want to come back for more.
The season and the story really seem to be pushing towards trying to get the guests, the World Walkers, to come together and collaborate a lot more.
Absolutely.
Like we mentioned in our past episode, the unique problem of Evermore, that's part of the reason why we want to share information, is because we're like, hey, we're only getting parts of this, and I'm sure people out there are only getting parts of it. Here's our stuff. You can have it. Let us know so that we can fit the pieces together and figure out what's going on.
Right, especially when it comes to world building. That was a huge step that the park took to build out these connected worlds. In seasons past, when Evermore has been connected to another world by a portal, we didn't really get a lot of substance in the workings of that world. Now, in Aurora, I have seen a map of that world. I have government information as how that works, and the ruling factions, and some myths about said world. I mean, just the level, and already, I mean, I know this is kind of talking about upcoming seasons of Mythos, but it seems to be not just about Aurora that they've worked out, but speaking to these characters that come from other worlds. For example, Sir Kalairi. She comes from the world of Mythos, and I was kind of wanting to kind of push the envelope and see how exactly how much the actor knew. And I go, hey, like, what is your home world? What is it like? What your hometown? Where does it in relation to kind of some other cities? And she was like, would you like me to draw you a map? And I was like, wait, you can do that?
Well, and then on top of that as well, when she was talking about where she lived, there was the actual name of where she lived and then what the like locals called where they lived.
Right.
It was like, oh, this is just a nickname because it was like, yeah, we live in the, you're from the steppes. Like, yeah.
Instead of the Iron Steppe Mountains.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And I was just like, whoa. Okay.
It felt for the first time, especially when in connection to other worlds, that things had been fleshed out, and ooh, the map of Aurora, beautiful, and the intricacies that are there and that Evermore has provided on a level on the amount of world building, beautiful and wonderfully done.
And that's something we've been craving for a long time. Just give us more of the world. How does this interact? What do the portals mean? And again, that's why I say it feels like Evermore stepping into their stride because they have backed up information.
Right. And it goes back to the cohesiveness of the quests where it was like, hey, there's a reason why these two characters are connected. There's a world built there and reasons for. It's not just it very well could be off the seat of their pants or you know, them just improvising, which props to them. But it felt immersive. It felt like you were discussing things with a person from another world.
I legitimately just took a whole night off basically in the park because I was just feeling real wacky, real weird. And I was like, yo, let's discuss Mythosian carrots. How big are Mythosian carrots?
How big can those carrots get?
Because we know that some things from the fairy gardens are exponentially larger. And so we're like, cool, animals are bigger, trees are bigger, insects are huge, and plants. So I'm like, what happens if you plant a carrot in a Mythosian garden? What does that take? How does that happen? Can I harvest this? Can I turn this into a business commodity to feed tons of people? And I went around trying to talk to a lot of the different Mythosians, and it was the consistency with which they each answered my questions was astounding. So I really appreciated that.
And built in science, like,
yeah,
they had a reason why something or some hypothetical would or would not work.
I have to wonder if the actors had to have like a quick meeting amongst them. Like, hey, we're all from Mythos. Skylar is asking about Mythosian carrots. This is what we have to do. but one of the really interesting things, like a part of this world building is like the carrots. It would take one massive carrot to grow as long as all of the little carrots that could like potentially be grown at the same time, like the same amount of time it would take 100 carrots to grow individually. It will take that massive carrot that same amount of time to grow. It's like, wait, so then does that mean all of the massive things in Mythos like have been growing for millennia longer than everything else like here? Like how old do things have to be there to be as large as they are? If it's not like that's just the natural process, wild. Absolutely wild.
Okay, you're hurting my brain because I didn't hear this before. It's the first information for me. Quick question. If insects are giant and insects are incredibly small, how long do those bugs have to grow to be giant?
So the reason why the fairy gardens grow large is because there's at least Kadarin hypothesizes that there's an unnaturally large amount of lay in the fairy gardens. And so it is concentrated on a pool of water that magically augments everything in the area. So potentially if those bugs are living forever, it's because they have become Tuck Everlasting and found the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And hey, if you're living for forever, you can wait a few extra months for your big old carrot.
Yep. Yeah.
It works. Yep. It works.
We're talking a lot about Mythos for an Aurora review.
No, we are because it wasn't like just Aurora. Everything grew out. The Aurora portal, yes, was open, but it wasn't a story just about Aurora. everything was involved. Oh my goodness, there's so much to talk about with the Endless Sea as something was like really
that was dope.
Like built out with the pirates. There is way more there than any one person can delve into alone.
And we kind of got confirmation from the park just as we were talking to some of our friends and kind of sent an email in being like, hey, are we understanding that all of this is out there? Can we dig into Mythosian carrots and so on and so forth? And the answer that we got from actors, from the characters themselves, was a resounding yes. And regulars and first timers alike, everyone can go to the park, experience it at a different level. And if you want to dig, the information is there, right? There is still some things there of progressing the major story. But at the same time, as we've been talking about, the feeling that World Walkers can push the story more so than any other season, if we as World Walkers come together and discover a secret, you know, say something about Ozzy, I don't know, just that he kind of had a larger hand to play than most people think about. If we as World Walkers realized that, we could affect the story and force the park to focus on other things. And they were okay with that and wanted that. And they were like, yes, let's have it. In the past, World Walkers, we were restricted to kind of what was available. Now, what the feeling is that that is no longer the case. And there's more there than any one person or one group could ever get to.
It's been described, I don't recall if it was one of the actors or one of the writers that we were just chatting with, is this it's not just storylines, it's story trees. Like, yes, you have a main trunk with your main story, but there are hundreds of branches that are leading out of it, that they're ready for the twists and turns wherever they need to go in order to get you to the right spot on that tree. Oh, they're doing so well building this stuff out. And it reflects as well within the like the methods of them actually doing the questing now. It seems like they've as to use a term you hit used earlier, why like they've hit their stride with doing these quests. The guild quests didn't feel finished at the start of the season, but they eventually got to a point where it was like, okay, I think they know what they're doing. They know what they want. And that is going to continue to grow and build out and become better and better. The story quests themselves were no longer like, I don't ever feel like I really ever did a single fetch quest, quote unquote. It all felt more meaningful and deep and connected. The personal quests that we were sent on that were just for us, basically, because there were loads of those, or at least felt that way, really invited you to do more than I think was ever like expected before, of like, hey, actually go be a good person as you are, flex those good person muscles and like open up and be vulnerable and talk to these characters and like share your deep memories, and they'll do the same. Like that it was so much more than just go ask this person about some small thing. They'll give you a rote answer and then you go back and report. Way more than that.
And there were some of that.
There was some of that.
But it was more so in the line of if the World Walker wanted that, if they were a first timer.
Yes. Like, yes.
It was in response to what the World Walker brought.
Absolutely.
And that was the main point. It wasn't this is all that's available at Evermore. It is we are now capable of giving the World Walker what they want. Still. And it'll be so amazing and it'll be exciting to see where the park goes with that. I mean, Dan, you kind of mentioned the guilds.
Yes.
A tiny bit.
Yes, I did. Just a tiny bit.
Just to kind of make a point there. The guilds, we had our frustration in the past, you know, we've talked about that a little bit in past episodes about the guilds. They weren't perfect, aren't perfect. Because I think they are seeing that perhaps as of right now, the guilds are, or were initially, I don't know, I'm kind of theorizing, may have been only for, more so for those that come once or twice and kind of a beginner kind of entry point. But then it seemed like people actually wanted to spend time with their guild and dig deep there. And it was like, okay, we actually need to make some changes, which we were glad to see that the coven, we haven't fully delved into it ourselves. For example, Skylar, you haven't joined the coven officially.
There was so much that we were trying to track down. I was like, okay, the guild's just going to have to go on the back burner for me, just guilds in general, because I'm like, I think these guilds will be here for much longer than this current impending doom. So I will get back to that.
Right.
But inquiring a little bit into it, it has changed. And
yeah, fixed so our frustration, your frustration, Skylar, was resolved.
It was met.
And for me, I spent most of the season in Stuck in the Nights. So me doing guild quests.
Stuck
in the Nights.
In the Nights? You mean you were enjoying a fully riveting experience?
I was. I actually really was. I was having a good time. So I do agree. The guild quests did go through a metamorphosis. At the beginning of the season, it was let's not check boxes, but like let's do the things and let's keep leveling up. And it wasn't until much later in the season, I realized like, oh, there is intrigue, story, drama, all of those things that I find in the story in the guild. And you really do have to do some work. You really do have to do some digging, but it's there and it's being fleshed out. It's coming to a head. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that come with us.
I personally, I liked the guild, but it was always put on the back burner for me.
And I was just going to say, in terms of what you just said, why with the guilds, I don't know if we're going to have to wait for Mythos for it, because the park isn't closing between seasons.
That's right.
Like they're going to have time and space to resolve the specific issues of Evermore as a town. But while that's happening, I think that is the perfect time to focus on your guild questing and like focusing deeper in there. It will be interesting to see like how those things are paced out. I too am excited to see where it goes. If I had one note for improvement for the guilds, I just want to say that Drake Kerrigan is the gold standard of salesman for their guild specifically. He had a beautiful sales pitch. That's what I'm going to call it, a sales pitch, to get people to join the Blackheart Hunters. You would listen to it, and even though I was a pirate, that is an invigorating call to action. This is awesome. I want to be a Blackheart, even though I was still in the Pirates. I was like, this is a very cool thing. I like it. And I don't know where every guild is going to go. Every guild can do their own thing, but I want a good sales pitch. I want you to sell it to me like we are on Dragon's Den, those pitch like meetings. I want you to pitch it to me. Sell me a good guild, because all of the guilds are amazing. I think that's just like my one little thing where I was like, I want all of them to feel like they have an amazing way to sell themselves. But that's just me.
I also have a criticism for the guilds, and some guild questing things. I do enjoy the metamorphosis that they've taken overall. I appreciate the story aspects that they get pulled into. For instance, the Scholars of the Coven, during one of the most recent events that will probably end up, I don't know what we'll call it, the Great Freeze, the Freeze of Evermore. The Scholars in the Coven were called upon to help assist in casting a spell that would undo these townsfolk who were frozen. And I'm like, awesome, excellent way to introduce people and get them involved in the story while being guided by a character still and not creating any sort of like kerfuffle. But as a counterpoint to that specifically, I do not like the knights. One of the knights' things that they have to do when they are ranking up is tell other people about the knights' attributes. And I say this a lot. I love interacting with people. When I am at the park, though, when I am in Evermore, I want to hear those things from the characters. I want the sales pitch from the character. I love and appreciate you as a human being, but I have not paid to come and hear a sales pitch from a World Walker knight, that sometimes I've even seen other guests get confused and think that they're an actor. They're like, oh, this is an actor. This is a very bad sales pitch. And that reflects poorly on the park as well, I think. I it wasn't something that I enjoyed. I was like, I don't want to be... I want to hear it from Iran. I want to hear it from Kalairi. I want to hear it from Thaddeus. And even it, maybe a compromise in a good way is if that knight has to tell someone about it while one of the other actual knights of Evermore, Kalairi, Thaddeus, Iran, are actually there so that I can defer questions to them. Because otherwise, I have often just seen some knights run up and be like, hey, this is the knights. They're from Mythos. Honor, loyalty, wit. Okay, bye.
To be honest, if I am a new person, if I am unfamiliar with that character, how do I even know what Mythos means? How do I even know who this person is and why they were talking to me? They didn't introduce themselves. I lose the world access to the world building and also kind of the point of Evermore, which is to immerse yourself. It's like, okay, cool. I guess this was weird. I'm going to go away.
It wasn't like horrible. It just left a weird feeling with me. I was just like, I don't really want to interact with the knights now if every time I'm going to walk up, someone else is just going to tell me the thing. It goes back to the, I want to experience it. I don't want that experience to come from someone else because I want to interpret it my way.
Right. I do think that is really cool that the knights allow liberties and power to their higher ups. I think that is cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
That a guild member can rank up and have additional power, responsibilities, something of that nature. So props there. Good thing there. But I agree. I don't want it coming from someone who isn't prepared to explain the intricacies of the portal system or what Mythos is, or maybe they are prepared, but they don't tell it correctly because they have a so-so understanding of it or have their own theories that are kind of blending into what they're telling. I want to hear it from the source. I don't want to play telephone with it, especially when it's most people's like first interactions with characters and with the story.
And just real quick, just because we were mentioning that we want to share information, I think what we mean in that regard is outside of the park. We want to discuss, we want to craft, we want to theorize, but when I'm in the park, I want to experience the park.
For all of the things that we hear outside of the park, we're going to take those things and earn them inside of the park. That's just a huge part of that. So thank you for clarifying that, Skylar. And then as well as we've been talking, we've brought up the coven, the knights, the pirates, but like all of the guilds are still imperfect. They're doing amazing compared to where they've been in the past. Just a thing for you as a world walker and for the park to be aware of, just in general, like moving forward is like, where can they continue to improve? Like, that's just the question to keep asking. And what can you do as a world walker to help them improve? And then I guess as we're talking about questing and so forth, I think one of the deeper aspects of questing that we can talk about, because we like, as you have heard, we've been talking about this for a while with the story and questing, because they were a huge part of this year's season. So hopefully you're not getting tuckered out by all of this. But one of the big things that happened this season was Everlevel questing kind of moved from the backseat and kind of moved a little closer to folks' attention. Whether they were aware that it was an Everlevel or not, the Everlevel quests felt closer to being a real main storyline.
They felt much more organic.
Absolutely. I would say, like, going back to the tree, like the Everlevels start out as this weird root that is leading up into the tree that will eventually become like a main storyline, oddly enough.
We really just need to have a whole episode on Everlevels.
So we really do. To the best of my information and ability to explain what an Everlevel quest is, looking at the questing system of Evermore, like we've talked about kind of the side quests and the story quests, Everlevel quests stand apart. as they require typically you to have a deeper and already established connection with a number of characters in the park, those that will basically give you information of their own free will without you prying it out of them. And so an Everlevel quest could start with a character being like, hey, I've seen you around here often, and I trust you. We've been getting close. I have an issue. I have this weird letter from an old friend of mine. He's gone, but it doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm pretty sure this leads to his treasure trove. If you can break it down, you can have it. We can have the treasure. We could have the treasure. Yes, you can have the treasure. All of it. Whoa, that is insane. It's like, and it'll start like a little something like that, and then it will turn into the letter is full of ciphers, and you have to break that down over the course of 2 weeks. This is coming from our experience of something we actually did. And looking for clues and keys around the park in order to open the chest. Everlevels can take different forms, but that is kind of the general setup of deep trust, a sort of a lasting connection leading to a storyline that is not accessible just to everybody that's coming into the park like day one. This isn't something that's going to be written about in the starter quests that you're going to be finding probably in the Gazette, for example. It is something that the park is kind of sliding under the table to you.
And part of what I believe is included in that is the fact that these quests are designed to take a while.
Yes.
It is rewarding those who go often enough to have trust and to solve puzzles together with other Worldwalkers and other characters and such, and also multi-layered. There's not just one clue that you follow one thing, but it is a series of quests that come together for a larger reward, to reward those who are willing to go and participate.
Exactly. For example, one of the Everlevels wasn't going to find a treasure chest, but it was just joining the Wolves of Winter as a member of their guild. They were anticipating about 10 people to join. They ended up having 34 people joining, and that required 4 or 5 weeks of consistent attendance. There were 7 trials. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, so 4 weeks. I can count and divide things. Each week you would have 1 or 2 trials that you would have to do, and once you did all of them, you could join the Wolves. And you had to do every single one in order to join. Super wild. It was a part of that. And in this case, like establishing deep trust. It kind of flipped the typical, at least that we were accustomed to, Everlevel formula, and made it a little more visible and accessible. Really quite curious. So it, like, there's variety in the Everlevels. Who knows where they're going to go in the future? But it is a multi-layered, multifaceted, multi-visit park experience where you change a story, you become a part of the park's narrative. And you can have your name basically written down in the annals of Evermore history forever. Pretty cool.
You can make a lasting impact on the park story.
Absolutely.
Love that. So now that we have described and explained what an Everlevel is, let's talk about what we thought of the 3 Everlevels that we had seen in the Aurora season. First and foremost was the Pirate Guild specific. They were talking about a lost treasure that we could find. Then there was the joining of the Wolves of Winter that you could do if you went every week. And then pretty much, from my understanding, the last two, or the last day, I think, actually, there was another one opened up. The last 2 weeks, there was another one opened up that revolved around bringing Maxwell back with his items.
Yeah, so that is actually still ongoing. If you are listening to this episode at the time that it drops, you can currently still jump in on that this Saturday. And that's the other thing, too, is just a reminder to Evolevos is that they are timed. While they do take multiple visits, there is a time limit in which they expire that determines the outcome of what happens.
With just to bring that up, with Aran back in lore, that was kind of the first ever level that Peter was able to solve, is if by a certain date and a certain time, if it wasn't solved, and Aran's sword wasn't found, that Aran actually would be dark forever, and there was no changing that.
And that Kalairi and Rooster most likely would have killed him.
Right. So lasting effects that if you want to have a lasting impact, you have to go and you have to solve, and you don't know when the deadline would be, and so you are just going and everything. But what did we think of the ever levels here that we saw, the three, or rather maybe just the two, because of the third one we haven't really resolved or seen the resolution of?
Well, that's fair. I think in terms of the first, I really enjoyed the pirate treasure ever level. It was the first time that I felt as though a quest I was doing was requiring way more from me cerebrally than like I could do alone. Like it really did require having a team of people working together on that.
We brought that, so those ciphers and riddles we brought back to the house, to the apartment, and were working well into the night for. So it wasn't just something that was in park. We brought it home with us because we enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, and it was super enjoyable to see that. And the reward payoff was exceptional. It felt awesome. It was like, whoa, we made way more gold than anyone in this town has like had any access to for a while, because at the start of the season the town is in like financial distress and like a state of emergency, they said, like really, really hard times. But then we just came into this massive sum of money that we ultimately just put into our bank account because the town was fending for itself just fine. Pretty interesting stuff. We chose to let it sit in our bank. We might have been able to do more with it. Who knows?
And that is something interesting. It presented options to us that we had never thought possible, and also allowed us to take Evermore home. When the chest was opened, not only were there vast amounts of gold, but also kind of these very cool relics or prop pieces that we were able to each pick one that would kind of be a symbol for us of kind of what we did there in that time. And that was amazing.
And then also as a part of that reward as well, supposedly there will be a chest, just like you can go see Peter's sword hanging in the tavern. There will be the treasure chest that we found engraved with our names on it as well. So that is very fun there.
I think for me, like I kind of already mentioned it, actually, the one frustration I had with the ever levels, first of all, with the pirates, the items that, so we were looking for five keys that would open this chest, and we had to find the chest. We did so. We found those keys by solving riddles and going to where they led us. It was very frustrating, though, because the keys had been taken out for special events. They had been taken out of their spot where they were supposed to be, and we spent hours looking over every and under everything, and they were not there. And only when we went up to the actors, the, you know, kind of the security team, kind of the meta, we were like, are we doing something wrong? And they were like, oh, they're not right where they should be.
Give us 30 minutes. We'll have some stuff where it should be.
And, you know, it's human error. They took it out for a legitimate reason. There was an event. They didn't want anyone to take those keys when they weren't a part of that, but they just weren't put back. And that took us more time to find them and kind of caused some frustration.
And as another like small difficulty of the Everlevel quest is, because of the depth that we did go into it, we kind of pulled ourselves away from story for a while. And so it was a little jarring once the Everlevel was done, getting back into things. And that was that was totally a result of us, like, doing what we were doing. We could have taken a totally different approach. How much is somebody going to invest their time into this that they might be missing the other stuff that could be very interesting to them? So at the Everlevel of the treasure chest hunt, very time-consuming, versus the Wolves of Winter, it was repeated visits, but the trials that you had to do, really, you could realistically get those done in 30 minutes, 45 minutes pretty easily and get back to story without too much of a hassle.
I actually really like the differences in the Everlevel quests, and I don't think you phrased that as a negative or a positive. It was just an observation, I would say. I actually really like that you had to sacrifice the ongoing story then to be able to participate in this thing that for you in that moment was worth it. And the risk was great, because what if you missed something else going on story wise? But the payoff was equally as great. I think it has an important part in place. I still don't think they're perfect yet, and I like that there's a variability of them. I know some people aren't a fan of that, and maybe that's why they didn't join in on the Everlevel quest, but I think it caters to regulars who want that.
And so with that, I think that kind of concludes our massive section on story and questing, just because that really was where we spent so much time with Aurora 2019. But coming up, we're going to be talking about the characters, the acting, so on. We want to talk about that aspect of Aurora 2019. And I guess to start it off, I just wanted to say A+ performances all around. Claps for everybody. Well done. It was a serious success for the park, as they were able to successfully navigate waters of having 80+ characters actively in the story's threads. Super dense, character-packed park. So good job on Evermore. Good job on the actors, juggling all of that. But it was difficult for World Walkers sometime to get to everybody. So sorry if we didn't get to talk to you as much as we would have liked.
Yes, I would have loved to have sat down and just talked to everyone for a whole day, but
there's, we didn't have 80 days.
There's not enough time. And I would also love to say that I loved all of the characters, even the ones I didn't really get to know, but seeing them act in tableaus and things like that, they obviously, their abilities, their talents shone through to make the stories and questing as good as it was.
Just kind of an improvement point. We've talked about it before with tableaus. First of all, Aurora, in my opinion, had many personal tableaus just for the World Walker that was there for them, or that you had to be in the right place to see the thing. It wasn't published, it wasn't out there, which was very cool in my opinion. But there were more public tableaus that were huge and drew many people, which I think we've got to talk about, the volume, the actual ability to hear what is going on, especially in some of those more cramped spaces. The rescuing of Jakul, for example, character Badger and Jakul kind of had this problem throughout the entire season. And because of World Walkers, they were able to help him out and rescue this character. And this tableau, this scene took place in the fairy gardens around a fire. Well, the reality is only a certain number of people can go around that fireplace. And everyone else was just lined around there. Even being right there, I could not hear anything. And so I trusted my friends who were around that fire to get the information, but I went elsewhere. And I think just being able to hear and for the actors to project as so everyone can hear in every instance, I think it feels weird because it's this intimate moment being shared, but something should be done there. I don't exactly know what. We've talked about mics, we've talked about, I don't know. But there is something to be said there to be able to actually listen and hear what is going on.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that it's in an outdoor venue is innately difficult. But yeah, as soon as that tableau starts, the inside voice goes out the window, and really intense projecting has to start for, and like that is for everybody involved in that, like, yes, I want you to feel like this is a natural thing that is happening, but I want it to also feel natural for the people that are 5, 6, 7 layers back. Another quick note for just kind of not necessarily as a call out or saying that this happened excessively, but just as a like general note of caution, because moving forwards, as there's going to be a lot more characters and things are way more character focused than they have been in the past, there's going to probably naturally be a tendency for people to be like, I want my character to be really important, which is great, and like characters should feel important. But I think I would also say that no character is more important than the actual overall story of Evermore, its actual objective. So I would just say for all of the actors and for those that are there, the Worldwalkers that are there supporting the actors, just as a reminder, like the spotlight, the attention, the focus should be where Evermore needs it to be. It shouldn't just be on you. It's not something that should be actively pulled towards yourself. And that, I think, goes towards all facets of life. Don't make things about you as the character, you as the actor, but make it about the story, and you're guaranteed to avoid the anybody thinking that you are a selfish character, selfish actor, in the regard of stealing attention away from something else.
I think in regards, I have a slightly different mindset than that. I will use the example when Donovan and Miri were talking to Cecily about how they potentially want to bring Maxwell back on their terms, or whether to just let Maxwell come back on his own terms from the dead. There was a lot of characters that just kept running in, and they were like, yo, Maxwell's bad. And Donovan's like, I know, we've been hashing this out for like 45 minutes, and everyone that walks up keeps reiterating the same thing. The real focus of that scene for me was between Donovan, Miri, and Cecily. I didn't really want anyone else, like any of the other characters. It actually got very long and dragged out, and I became so disinterested in a entertainment and story perspective that I was like, cool, literally, because as every single character is walking up, they're like, yo, what's up? What's going on? And they're like, yeah, Maxwell's bad. I don't like this. And we're like, okay, yeah, okay. Thanks for that again. So just like people that are more relevant to the story plot line is what I feel helps in keeping those scenes, those tableaus, entertaining.
Yeah, I would say like, a note that I wrote down for our outline for today is that Evermore is the like hardest acting team sport on the face of the earth. There are like you really have to pick your battles on like at least it seems to me like and I don't know what all is going on behind with story and writing and so on, but like picking the battles of like, is it worth it for me to go through this wall of 8 people or like that is 8 layers of people deep in order to interact with this story? Like what I because I really don't know the answer to it, but it's one of the issues of like, okay, is it just a matter of people being where they need to be on time? Was there supposed to be more people there, or was it just, oh, the actors were walking by, they had to get somewhere, and it would have felt weird if they didn't stop? Like there's a lot to it, but I think it's a challenge that I think they're just going to have to be aware of and probably address internally themselves and find out their best remedy. But I know that they can do it, and I know that they'll be able to find a way to make things feel natural and without it being like, oh, this is, I was like, you cannot be here, we're doing a thing, go around, thank you.
Yes, again, mad respect to the actors, because it's got to be so hard.
Seriously.
To determine what to do in different scenarios, because they vary so much.
Right, and just knowing the backstories that are out there, you know, who we have said kind of like, well, limit to those that are most important. Well, maybe to those characters, it is important for them to be there.
Right.
Right. Right. Because they have personal stakes in the matter. And so I think this is a very, very difficult thing to do, but just kind of making just littler, one large tableau with a discussion, then kind of spacing it throughout the night or something, with these smaller tableaus that happen just between two or, you know, some odd people, and discussing it there instead of interrupting what has already been happening for 45 minutes. I don't know enough, though.
Yeah, and honestly, neither do I. Like, at the end of the day, I don't know if we really have a best solution for it. It's just our observations of, like, man, this does have to be hard. It has created some road bumps here and there that we didn't necessarily want, but with Evermore, I'm sure they are aware of it and they're working to solve those issues. But again, to the actors, we love you. We care about you. Thank you for your hard work and dedication. Your talents are not wasted here on Evermore. Thank you for what you are doing. Give yourself a pat on the back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that is going to end our section on the actors, characters, and so on. as we need to continue moving forward.
Yes,
we're so talkative today.
This is what we recorded back-to-back episodes today. This is what happens when you get us talking. We want to talk more. When you give a mouse a cookie, when you give a world talker an outline.
perfect. Let's go into theme, ambience, and effects. What do you guys think? It was the holiday season, so we had Christmas lights. What do you guys think?
Looked fantastic. Really evoked the feeling of Christmas, of winter, Wonderland. When it snowed, oh, it was beautiful.
Amazing.
Incredible. When it snowed, the lights reflected off the snow reflected off the lights. It just was compound interest of ambiance. That's what it was. It was beautiful.
The decorations and the designs, they didn't have the return of that like Eiffel Tower light section it wasn't really placed.
The martini glass, wasn't there a martini glass last year?
The lighting was appropriate for the goal of the lights.
Yes.
And really impressive lights too. There were multiple tall structures of lights.
Yes.
Like the ornament of 2018 was nice and impressive, but there were more moments like that because they had the arches going over each other. Those were impressive. They also had they just had multiple of impressive things.
Mm-hmm. And it was so bright. It was so bright the first, especially for like all of December. It was just incredible.
The lighting that they had there, the ambient lighting from the strung up lights and so on, sometimes didn't feel like it was enough to adequately light the actors so that we could see them emoting and getting into things. So that was just a like small thing. Was like, oh man, like I know that was good and I saw most of it, but I would have loved to see all of it. So just like a small thing, like I don't know what Evermore is going to be able to do to remedy that. Without putting up more lights, but I don't know how to do that and also make it feel natural. So just a difficulty of the outdoor space that they have.
As far as ambiance goes, there was music abound, and not only music being piped throughout the park, but also live performers with such incredible talents. I mean, we have had Cleo and beautiful singers in the past, which Cleo rocks it, kills it every time. Beautiful voice. But also Kiva, a new addition.
Incredible.
Who was a harpist and beautiful voice and just absolutely killed it every single time. You also had the addition now of Vander's Keep, a beautiful, well-designed building that you could go in and eat in, and they had live music performing there.
Quickly about Kiva, fun thing about her, I heard that there were a number of people theorizing like her music is too perfect. She must have been a music doll brought to life, animated some way. It was like, oh, this is like what a like props to this actress of like, hey, like you're killing it, good job. So like we didn't note every single person in the park that was playing music and like providing that ambiance, but you're all doing a fantastic job and thank you. Again, for bringing your talents to the park and sharing them with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Speaking of talents being shared, the new Evermore Gazette really, once again, using this phrase, kind of hit its stride. We saw, I don't know number-wise, but it felt like we got more issues than in seasons past. There were great articles being written, and they were used to catch people up and to help with the tutorial mode that we have commented on the past that needed to be there. Not perfect yet, but it definitely helps.
Yeah, and there was even the starter quests that Daniel kind of alluded to earlier that you could jump into and be like, oh, I know where to go because of the Gazette. There's also ciphers in the Gazette that we heard about.
Yeah, we couldn't ever pin those down, but supposedly there was some ciphers and things to crack inside of the Gazette, but we never got around to it.
We'll hopefully be able to figure it out sometimes. Fingers crossed it's still relevant. If it's not, then sad day. That's all right. We'll move forward.
Yes. Amazing to whoever the writers are. Writing that, like, fantastic job.
And then I guess additionally, there was just speaking about Aurora itself in terms of the general theme that we felt this season. Last Aurora, the kind of goal was to build a sense of political intrigue, court politicking, kind of bringing up thoughts of like what's going to happen with civil war, what's coming on the rise. But this season, it felt as though they took an imperfect Aurora 2018 and refined it again, and then gave it to us as a fantastic product of like, I am feeling political intrigue bleeding through this entire season.
With multiple groups, with factions, yes, that were built out and understood like what they were doing.
Not just amongst like a group of like five people. It was amongst this group of 80 characters. Like there were like traces of it throughout everything.
Had the Wolves of Winter, the Elves of Light, the Frost Lords, the town of Evermore itself, including the drama and politics of going on back in London. There was just a ton of politics in this one, and I loved it.
So in terms of theme and like really making us feel like we were feeling like we were feeling Aurora, they nailed it. So like, again, props to you guys. High fives to everyone in the writer's room.
Huzzah.
And quack quack huzzah, praise be King Otis.
Even politicking among the beasts, you know, because you got the crown princes of Salt and Pepper coming in.
Who should be the rightful rulers of the animal kingdom? Is it King Otis, or should it be Prince Salt? Should we ascend him into kinghood?
Yeah. Who knows? I have heard that Salt has a very strong lineage and may have a claim to the throne. So we may see a lamb duck battle coming up here soon. And also just in terms of the effects this season were fantastic. There was one specific instance that we wanted to bring up, which was Spani's attack on Ulfdrot, where he had what was probably dry ice or something to that effect in his hand, breathed out a like puff of like icy smoke onto Ulfdrot, and it looked as though, oh my goodness, I just saw a spell done been cast. It was fantastic. That was a small little thing. So like they're not trying to rock everyone's world in terms of the effects that they're doing, but what they're bringing is believable and like adding to the story. It isn't distracting from the other things that are going on. So excellent work there. And also in general, as I guess an effect or a part of theme and ambiance, as we're talking about it here, a massive frost giant creature, a big old bodysuit that was built. Fantastic work. One of just super intricate. The musculature that was on the thing was lovely. The muscular striations, wow. I love it. So good job to Evermore Creative Studio as well. Like the work is recognized. We see it and we love it. Thank you.
What about the activities of this season? What could you do in the park other than story and quests?
Choo-choo train!
Choo-choo train!
Choo-choo train!
They got that up and running, and the Evermore Express runs pretty much around the clock, unless there's extreme weather or something. But when the park is open, people can go, and it is included in the ticket price.
It is so much fun. One of my favorite things to do is anytime I see a new townsfolk conducting the train for that evening or that day.
Doing a little bit of a voice explanation or over the speakers.
Yes, they're like giving the tour of the town as you go on this train ride. It's my favorite, and it's hilarious beyond all belief to take a ride on the train and see how each of the different characters describes places in the park.
And I guess just a small note, sometimes, depending on where you were in the park when there was a tableau, the train passing by could make it difficult to hear what was going on. But again, that's just a difficulty of like the park is going to have to figure out, okay, how do we deal with the great red dragon, as Ulfenia would call it, like coming by and screaming at people as it goes by, drowning out sometimes the cool stuff that's happening between characters. But that's just a small quibble from Daniel.
So what else was there at the park to do when not involved in story?
Sadly, and this is much to my heart, there was no archery nor axe throwing all of Aurora season.
It's semi-understandable. It was cold.
It was cold.
I was sad to have those missing. There was still the animal and reptile show going on. I think that will always be going on. So that's always fantastic to do. They had some also like events that kind of took place. The wolf games happened, as well as the Valentine's Day event that was normal priced but still very fun. And then other things like gambling with Gazer, and of course, again, listening to that wonderful live music, watching the acting troupe put on shows, very entertaining.
This season, it didn't feel like it was really like, hey, I'm going to go to Evermore Park to quote unquote do things. I'm not going to go ice skating. I'm not going to go throwing axes and shooting bows and arrows. But it really, like, again, story was the front seat. It was what was the focus. So like, I suppose just one of the difficulties of it was if activities were the things that you were interested in at Evermore, those were on the back burner this time around.
Something on the kitchen burner.
Oh,
is the food.
Yum, 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 yum.
It feels like Evermore's food menu is pretty much standardized to this point. In earlier seasons, we kind of had a more seasonal menu that would change very substantially every season. This one was pretty much the same throughout and was a continuation of what was served in Lore 2019.
I would say some of it feels a bit snackish to me. Not much of it, not many of the items feel like a full, like, substantive meal. So often I will either have to get a lot of these snack items, which kind of makes the prices a little steep for me in that regard, but it's not that bad.
Something that Evermore did that I both applaud and curse is having an event in Aurora that is focused on pies and then selling pies, because nothing makes me want to eat pie than people talking about it constantly
and being connected to the story.
And being fantastic. Connected to the store. Those pies are delicious, by the way. Evermore's pies are fantastic. And I got to eat them and pretend I was pie crazy. So that was awesome.
Another very good pro tip. Go buy some plain fries. Buy some gumbo. Drop that gumbo on them fries. Oh, so good.
Do it. It'll change your life forever. In terms of other new additions, in terms of stuff that you could purchase in park to take home with you, on top of realms that we've talked about fairly extensively, we also had some new collectible coins come out starring a beautiful printed Wolf of Winter there on the coin, and as well as some beautiful new posters, one of the Aurora map itself and one of the portal map that kind of encompasses all of the known and unknown regions that we may be able to traverse, at least through the individuals from those locations at Evermore.
Let's get into pricing. Skylar, you had mentioned that the cost of food to kind of be worth filling your belly sometimes got a little bit high there just because of the amount and lack of substantive
options
yeah. there for you. But what about pricing overall? Ticket pricing, merchant food, all that fun stuff.
I think a lot of the merchandise is priced pretty decently. Obviously I love cheaper stuff, but like I'm not mad at what the prices are, other than perhaps realms, but we've discussed that in our realms review, so go and check that out if you want opinions on that. But I think the tickets especially were, I think they've hit a perfect like compromise area. Saturdays are the most expensive days that we had, and they're like $27. Not that bad for me. I mean, of course, I would still love season passes, weekend passes, any other kind of passes like that. But especially for what you're getting there, the ticket prices are much better than like you pay the same thing to like go to a trampoline park. Those trampoline parks that just plague the entirety of Utah and people just seem to want more of them for whatever reason. I don't know why.
They seem like they want to break their necks. I don't get it. I don't understand. Father, can you tell me? I just don't get it.
But there's plenty of ways to break your neck at Evermore too, so come on down.
But if you're safe, you'll be fine.
I mean, don't like climb walls and stuff, and you're that's basically it. You're
there's
good.
There's ways to break your neck anywhere if you're like if you're seeking it out. Don't seek it out. You're good. You're good.
It is very interesting to see Evermore actually put in place a new point of sale system in terms of booking tickets and everything. We got to see that, and there were some pros. It was well designed. The calendar is now updated and has a different look, and really feels a step in the right direction. All in all, I think for me, the website is the weakest point of the Aurora season. I will say that.
It has been undergoing some changes. They've been trying to renovate it and things like that. And I think just because it has been pretty slow in regards to that, it has left a very poor first impression for me this season when I went to buy tickets, went to buy things, specifically in regards to, especially towards this end of the season where they implemented this new, like, registering. I was like, oh, excellent. This is going to be so helpful. I will be able to have my information saved. I will be able to have my waiver saved. I will be able to have like my card information saved. But no. Instead, every time I have to log in, it remembers zero of my information. And when I log into my account, I have to do a second verification through my email in a very inconvenient way. Then go to my email, come back and type it in. It just was very, very clunky, not intuitive, not helpful.
Yeah, I found that it was easier for me to just like check out as a guest.
Yep.
Than use the member system that like should be the easier way to do it. Yeah. So like and that I'm sure that that's something that they are aware of and they're trying to figure out the kinks, but that like was just an observation that we have to make. To be objective, was like that was a weak part of the whole process.
You know, in my opinion, the weakest part of that website. I'm okay with the point of sale, the booking system, but the website in and of itself is not helpful for people that are trying to figure out what Evermore is. There are pages, important story pages, and I actually sent in an email about this. To Evermore, letting them know that their background is white. It is white in color, and their text is also white. So unless I knew that text was there, I am not able to see it unless I highlight it, which this is the portal through which people find out about Evermore. There's not stuff there, and for them to have white text on a white background in my opinion, from a web design and from a business standpoint, is unacceptable, to be perfectly honest.
I think something that they could do to remedy the situation with a product that they already are using is just a digital copy of the Gazette. I know that they're selling back copies. So like if they want to keep selling the back copies, that's totally cool. If it is all of the articles or just a few articles like selected from the Gazette each week to upload weekly, oh my goodness. Like you already have high quality content in a in-universe form that is going to amplify people's understanding of the things that are actually going on. Oh, there! What are these wolves of winter? I have never heard of this Evermore before, but this is curious, and now I want to come to Evermore. Like, and it's like the more that they're able to, I think, implement things that they're already doing to correct issues that they're already facing. Oh, solving problems with like solutions that they already have.
That's actually a really good solution.
Thanks.
And there are some good things that have been happening. We are so pleased with the information that is out there months in advance about the events coming up and the menu there. And that has all been put out and is available on their website. So there are good things there. It just feels like it needs some tender love and care. Whew, that website. Mm-hmm. In my opinion.
Yes, the Masquerade Ball event, which will be happening on March 21st. Be sure to go and buy your tickets. Unfortunately, when this episode airs, the discount that you can get at Evermore's website for the event, the Masquerade Ball event, will have already passed and is no longer available. So be sure to stay plugged in and check those things out. It's important to kind of keep caught up on that. But having that information out and available, basically the furthest that they have yet, a whole month in advance with full menu breakdowns, with full activity breakdowns, is just amazing. And I love it. I would love more of that.
Excellent. I guess just kind of break down all of the things we've said here into a quick overall summary, starting with some of the critiques. And then moving into the things that we felt were like big old strengths. Just again, sometimes it is difficult to see and hear the actors, and that is like key to the success of a story beat. That's just something that needs to continue to like be in the forefront of the mind of the park, in our opinion.
I think just everyone, actors, staff, Worldwalkers, we all need to work together to make sure that Evermore remains the chief focus of what happens at the park. Some of those shining moments for Worldwalkers and for those moments to really show off, the acting chops get ruined if one person puts themselves in the way, Worldwalker and actor alike. For the moments of battle, let the actor shine. Do not get in the middle of that. If there is an expert in a field character, do not argue with them. As well as for actors and characters, help each other. We kind of saw some instances that it was like you're trying to outshine each other. We like you both. We like you all. That is the thing.
And just as an addendum to that is like if there is a moment where you disagree with a character choice during a tableau, I would say don't do it. Don't actively seek that out during the tableau. Do it afterwards. Have a more intimate experience with the character rather than detracting from a rehearsed piece of the show. Like, let that piece happen. Enjoy it. Savor it. And then come to the characters afterwards and have the real conversation that you were actually wanting to have there, but do it with the character.
I think jumping over into strengths of this season, an amazing story. Again, that story episode for Aurora will be coming out as our next episode, so be sure to check that out and get caught up on it. But because it is incredible, it is one to get into. There's so much depth, so much there.
I think the acting better than ever. There were a few instances where it was a little bit awkward at some points, but honestly, the acting and the actors, we'll say it again, you are what brings Evermore to life. And I know you will say, no, it is the Worldwalkers. No, it is both, I suppose. But the actors are supreme.
Yeah. And we've mentioned this before, and we'll say it again. we feel and we know that the park is ready. The park is on its feet. It's hitting its stride. It's ready for these big stories. It's ready for these big conversations. Let's keep enjoying it and let's make it an enjoyable experience for everyone.
Honestly, if you are just coming into Evermore now, you're going to want to stick with it. If you have left and haven't come back, honestly, Evermore Park is hitting its stride, and come back to the fold. It's wonderful. Definitely worth it. But we just want to say thank you so much for listening for our season review today. We absolutely adored the season of Aurora, and we can't stop talking about it in our free time, which is why we've talked so much about it here in the review. Thank you so much, Evermore, and thank you for listening. We just want to also put up a reminder that the Masquerade Party is up and coming on March 21st, Skylar, correct?
Correct. And if you want to make sure to stay updated on all of those things and upcoming events, be sure to stay tuned to Evermore at their website, evermore.com, or on their Facebook and on their Instagram, Evermore Park, as well as Evermore Creative Studio.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram with our handle at World Talkers, and call in, leave a message if you want to maybe have your voice aired on the podcast, 801-332-9321. Leave us a message. Tell us your thoughts about what happened this season. And if you don't want to call us, that's fine. You can leave us an email, worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com.
And you can also share your thoughts with us on Apple Podcasts, where you can definitely give us 5 stars and share your thoughts with us about how much you love what we're doing. Give us 5 stars, please. Thank you.
And a huge, huge shout out to our executive producer, Aileen. Supporters like you, and with your amazing contribution, we have been able to move this podcast along. Thank you so much. Honestly, Evermore Park has so much in store, and we can't wait to see it with you
beyond the portal.